So, the leader of the City of York Council, Councillor Claire Douglas, joins us on Y01 Radio to have a chat about what's happening in the city. Hello and welcome.
Hello, good morning. Thanks for having me today.
Nice to see you back in the studio. Let's grab the bull by the horn, shall we, and go straight for the difficult one. Just how bad are York's finances at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, it's really very, very difficult. There is no getting away from it, and I think people will know that the national position is very, very difficult for councils across the country, and York is no different to that. We've got low levels of government funding, and our costs are just continue to rise. So trying to match those together is difficult.
Last time we spoke, it was £11 million. You said the city was effectively in the red. Has it got any worse or any better?
Overspend this year will be £11 million. It hasn't improved any. Often by this point in time, some additional funding's come through. Departments have managed to find some savings and implement new ways of working. And the problem is that our costs have continued to go up and no more money's come in yet.
So does that mean drastic cuts?
For the setting of the budget for 24-25, which we're in the process of doing at the moment, it's gone public that people will have seen. It means that we need to cut £14 million out of the revenue budget of a total of £141 million.
How do you begin to do that? I mean, I saw that libraries, you know, the York Explorer is going to be affected. I think I saw a price tag on that of a £300,000 reduction.
Yeah, how we even begin to do it, it is tremendously difficult. And I use these words with everybody who I speak to. It is arduous and it is harrowing doing this. Nobody ever comes into government wanting to do it. But what we do is we work with the officers, the staff in the council who know their departments, and they have to identify where they might be able to make some changes to how they work, some savings. We look at those and assess them against our priorities, so equalities, affordability, climate and health. And then we decide which ones are the least worst that we can actually stomach. And it's been a really, really hard process.
I mentioned £300,000 cut from the library service, but you're talking about making cuts of £14 million. So £300,000 is a drop in the ocean. What else has got to go or at least be cut back?
Well, I think everybody also needs to think about this isn't just this year that it's been going on. The council's been having to make cuts for since about 2010, and an average of almost £10 million per year over that period. So in that period, the library service, who do an absolutely fantastic job, haven't had any cuts. Their budget has actually gone up, but everybody else's, adult social care, children's services, bins, roads, all reductions. And with the libraries, we've just got to a point where we unfortunately have to say to them, it's your turn to take a bit of the fair share as well.
Can you do that to them? Because I understood that they had an agreement that was sort of baked in for the next few years. You know, they'd signed a deal with the City Council, and that deal would actually prevent you cutting the money that you give to them.
Yeah, they have a contract, and of course, you know, the contract is adhered to. But within that, there's a contract change order that can be given to them, which allows that conversation to happen. And it needs to be a conversation, but at the end of the day, all of the services that we deliver, unfortunately, and much to my pain, have to take their fair share. So that's where we're at with them.
So what else is going to have to face cutbacks? Because some of those things that you just mentioned there, social care and collecting waste and things like that, they are core requirements. You're not allowed legally to stop doing those. So how do you make cuts?
No, that's absolutely right. We have a lot of services that are statutory, must be delivered by law, but it doesn't mean that there aren't ways of delivering those services that mean that they can be done a more efficient way that might save us some money. But also those services that are not statutory, that are discretionary, we can do them if we want to.
Things like what then?
That kind of thing is like our economic development team. important things, the things that make our city the fantastic place it is to work, many of those are discretionary. We have to look at those as well, and we have to think, do we want to and can we continue to do that? Do we need to make cuts there as well? It's very, very difficult.
With so little money, what can you actually do? I mean, let's just think about one area you mentioned as well, the state of the roads. You and I spoke about this last time. You came in for a chat here to Y01 Radio, and you said, yeah, you were going to do what you could about the state of the roads. But presumably, with cuts of this size, we're just going to have to carry on clunking along pothole-filled roads for the time being.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think everybody in York will identify, and the officers described to me that we're in a period of managed decline with the roads, that they have got worse over the years. And the current cost of fixing them is £190 million. So that's our revenue budget, total budget, £141 million. The roads are a big problem, but until we get more money in for our statutory services, adult social care and children's services, we're not going to be able to do as much with the roads as we want to.
The government did announce a few weeks ago, I think, a big package of billions of pounds nationally towards road repair.
York got £363,000. And our full bill is £190 million to fix the road. So if that puts it into context, it is a drop in the ocean.
We have a big change on the way before too long. We have a new authority being created, a combined authority for York and North Yorkshire. What kind of difference with a mayor and he or she will have funding coming with them? What kind of difference might that make?
Yeah, this is a great opportunity for us and hugely important. And don't forget, everybody, there are elections for the mayor on the 2nd of May. It's hugely important that you participate in, because what the combined authority allows us to do is to look at regional priorities, and our transport system, our roads will be an element of that, and the money comes directly from Westminster. So the mayor can lobby Westminster to get more money into our region for these issues: housing, net zero, roads, transport. So I often say to people, unfortunately, this is the only show in town at this point in time for bringing significant money into the region to fix some of these big issues that we all want to get on with.
And is that going to happen, do you think? How hopeful are you? Because presumably the competition is going to be absolutely countywide. You know, North Yorkshire, biggest county in England, 6,000 or 7,000 miles of roads, let alone the roads within York.
Yeah, no, obviously it is a combined authority, and it is for York and North Yorkshire, and North Yorkshire is a huge county. But also this needs to benefit every part of the region, and North Yorkshire understand that York is the economic hub of the region, so it's important that we look good and that we're doing well, and our priorities are approached as well as North Yorkshire. But also people in Skipton, Hawes, Selby, it doesn't matter where you are in North Yorkshire, those people also need to feel there's a benefit too, so it does need to be shared around.
They're all going to want a slice of that cake. Can we come to some questions put by Y01 Radio listeners when they knew you were going to be chatting to me? Greenbelt Sal says, what are the council going to do about the historic buildings in York that sit empty? What are the owners doing? It's sad to see buildings so full of character and to see that heritage rot.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about examples that they might be spotting.
Well, there we are, photographs on the Twitter feed that's come from Greenbelt Cell. One of them is the old central post office on Lendl.
Right,
empty, empty,
yes,
for many months.
Yeah. So on that, the post office, to be quite honest, I'm not sure exactly who the owner is at the moment. It's either the post office or an other investor, and they sit remotely from York. They don't have any skin in the game in York. They're not personally attached to it. And to be honest, these large investors, they have these buildings sat on their accounts. They're an asset. And as long as it's sat there, they're quite happy. So this is a difficulty. And we've got this problem across York with some of the larger buildings when we have these remote landlords. But there are some areas that we can have more influence on. And, you know, we just need to keep banging the drum for making them sort out our high streets and making sure that they're thinking about putting new tenants into these buildings or selling them on. It's just not good enough.
Is there no way you can crack the whip and say, terribly sorry, but this building cannot stand empty for much longer, or we're going to double the rates that you pay, or whatever it might be?
Yeah, there is an option for increasing the rates, but there's also a loophole that landlords take advantage of, and that's if you take out the utilities from a building, you don't need to pay business rates anymore. So I think everybody needs to speak to these large landlords about it. It's a tricky issue.
Sounds a bit tricky. All right, this is a question from Dale, who addresses me as Dear Mr. Cowop. I'm not used to that level of formality. I'd like you to ask the leader of the City of York Council, why does the council seem so intent on making it difficult to drive around York? Why the speed humps, the traffic chicanes, the closed roads, the traffic lights that appear to be set to slow down traffic? The idea of traffic lights to restrict Marble Arch under the tunnel at the station on Lehman Road to being single carriageway is just one example. Why do this when the traffic has been flowing two ways under there since it was constructed? That's Dale's question. Have you got a policy of actually making it hard to get around York in a vehicle?
No, not at all. Basically, what has been going on, and before we came into administration, so pre-May, there was an awful lot of work on the roads that was put off, and then we've inherited having to get on with it. So the Marble Arch that was mentioned, that is one way, because there's the work going on York Central up at the National Railway Museum at the other end of the arch. And until that is finished, unfortunately, there is no way that those roadworks can be removed, which obviously is rather inconvenient for people.
OK, here's a question from Andy. He said, I was reading something over the weekend about the number of people who still work from home 2 years after the pandemic. He says, I'm a delivery driver, and that isn't an option for me. Can you ask Claire how many of York Council staff still work from home, and does it really work for the council?
There's a policy within the council that staff can work flexibly, those who have office-based jobs. So they work 2 days a week in the office and 3 days from home. That's 2 days is the minimum expectation that they'll be in West offices or wherever their place of work is.
Are they being as productive when they're at home? Because if you're at home, yes, you can sort of focus and concentrate on things, but you're not interacting with colleagues in the same way as you are if you're actually physically present in an office.
Yeah, our evidence shows that there's no reduction in the productivity, but of course, teams need to come together to be creative and do that teamwork that you speak about. So that's integrated into the flexible working programme. And actually, it does mean that different types of people with caring responsibilities can also have a job. So flexibility for some people is good, for others isn't so good. But really, I think it's doing a great job for our workforce. And we keep making sure that the council is improving and delivering those services that the people of York want.
I mean, the inference from Andy's question is that people working from home are skiving.
Yeah, I don't agree with that. And actually, I can give an example of myself. I worked from home for 16 years. I ran my own business. And to be honest, I worked harder at home than I did in the office because there was nobody to distract me. So I think swings and roundabouts.
OK, swings and roundabouts. And security measures, let's turn to those. The bollards, the installation continues. It's currently going on Blake Street. It's ruined business for shops on Blake Street. I was speaking to one shopkeeper the other day and they were saying we might as well not be open. When is this all going to be finished, and is it working? Has it all been necessary, or is it just a legacy from the last administration you've had to see through to its £3.5 million end?
Yeah, well, it is a legacy that we've inherited from the last administration, but there's no getting away from it that our city needs to be kept safe as well. And part of that is vehicular attacks. So the bollards are designed to stop an HGV ramming into the city centre. And as people often say to me, well, it won't stop somebody who's a lone wolf who's got other weapons on them, will it? No, it won't.
A backpack
no,
or something like
it
that.
It won't. Yeah. Of course it won't. That's not what they're designed for. And they have had impacts on our cities. They've been implemented. There's no getting away from that either. But we can't ignore that security, that terrorism threat that we need to make sure that we're responding to. So I know that there's been challenges, there's been hiccups, businesses have been affected. We're getting towards the end of it, should be completed in March now, and then all of the bollards be active and moving backwards and forwards together. They need to work as a system. So all I can do is apologise to people for the delays in getting them in, but it is a really important thing that we get it done.
And an issue that goes alongside that is blue badge holders. And for several weeks now, blue badge holders have been able to come back into the city. I'm not sure whether they've got full access yet, but is that working?
Absolutely. So they can go in through Gudrum Gate at the moment and out through Collier Gate. And it is working, and we've had no complaints about it as far as I'm aware. It means that people in our city haven't been able to fully participate in the life of our city, get in and do their shopping, go to appointments, meet friends and family, have been able to. And we hope that the Blake Street access will open up further once the bollards are completed. So that should be after Easter.
We started out talking about finances, and of course the main source of finance is people's council tax bills. Do we know yet how much council tax bills are going to have to go up by?
No, because that needs to go through full council in order to be agreed, and everybody, all councillors, get to vote on it.
Are we talking top whack here? I mean, I think you're sort of limited to about 4.9% or nearly 5%. Is it going to be the case that York's cash situation is so bad that we're looking at a 5% increase in council tax bills?
Yeah, so the council tax can go up by a maximum of 2.99%, and adult social care gets an additional amount of money that comes in via that route as well at 2%. So the maximum is 4.99% at this point in time. And the government is banking on the fact that all councils will implement that maximum council tax increase. So I don't want to preempt the vote, because that's not, you know, I shouldn't be doing that. But I would be surprised if we don't see it go up by that full amount, yes.
How close is York to financial ruin? We have seen umpteen councils, including some very big ones, right across the country have to declare, is it a section 114? Yeah,
114.
Basically, a council saying, that's it, we're bankrupt, there's no money left. How far is York away from that?
I would say to the people of York that given our financial responsibility and the cautious approach that we're taking with the budgets to make them balance, that we're not in that situation. But our reserves are very low. And if we don't take responsible financial decisions and make the books balance, unfortunately make these cuts that we've discussed already, then we could be in that situation, but not this year, but not that next year either. But we have to make sure that we don't go down that route, because nobody wants that. I tell you, it is not where we want to be at all.
This is where central government basically has to send in its own people to run a city. I had a feeling there, and maybe I'm getting this wrong, where you said we're not in that situation. And I have a feeling that you might have said we're not in that situation yet. Can you see it looming over the horizon?
I think that if you asked any council leader across the country, if they weren't taking responsible action now to avoid that, then yes, you could be in that situation quite easily. But we are determined we're not going there. And hence, unfortunately, our city's going to feel a bit of that pain in order to keep us out of it.
Of the £14 million that your team has got to save, what's going to be the hardest? What's going to be the most painful?
Oh, gosh, that's a difficult question. There's been so much cut out of our budget since 2010, £138 million in total, that there is no fat on the bones. So every cut we make is painful and difficult for the staff, for the residents who use that service. Of course, I think that we can all likely recognise that having to make cuts in adult social care or children's services for our most vulnerable in the city is the area that we least want to have to do it. So I would say those are the most painful.
Who is suffering at the moment?
Everybody.
That's a dreadful thing for you to have to say. And
yeah,
I'm assuming it gives you no joy, no pleasure to say that whatsoever.
No, absolutely. And, you know, I'll tell you again, it has been arduous and harrowing. It is not pleasant. But if we don't do it, then we don't have control over our own decision making anymore, and we just are not going there.
We've talked about some drastic things, some sad things. What actually makes you happy about what is going on in York at the moment? There must be something.
Yes, oh, absolutely. You know, and I say to people regularly as well, it is tough times, no getting away from it. But we have a fantastic city. We pull together, we get through tough times, we do amazing things. So free school meals in Westfield Primary, free lunches. And in Burton Green Primary, we've got free breakfast for the children as well. That is going amazingly well. The city is pulling together to fund that alongside the council. So, you know, the Archbishop is supporting it as well. We've just had some announcement of some health money going into it. I couldn't tell you the impact that's having. And just one small example, I've been told in one of the schools that because there's breakfast there, five children who they struggle to get into school on a daily basis are going to school regularly at the moment. That has long-term educational outcomes. They're eating healthily, long-term health outcomes. Couldn't be better for our city.
Does that mean there are five families in York where things are so hard financially that mum and dad or carers can't afford to feed their kids, so kids are going to school in order to get breakfast?
I would say five is an absolutely huge underestimation. There's far more than that. You know, we've got numerous children living in poverty in York, and putting meals on the plates for them at lunchtime or breakfast is making a real difference for those children, but also the families, that it puts money back in their pockets too.